Thank you. Okay, everyone, the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I am not change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will not mine be done. That is music to my ears, and it's the Serenity Prayer, yes, but also to hear all of your voices, because this is a fellowship. I can't do this without you guys. And God knows, and I'm sure all of you, you know, we all have pretty much not the same story, but we know the same pain. And I tried all sorts of things, boy, when I got into this fellowship, and this particular one, God graced me, and I'm forever grateful. Quickly, I came into Hal. I'm just going to run this by you real quick. I'm coming on my 25th year. It'll be, by the grace of God, it'll be January 22nd, 1990. It was a Monday noon meeting, was my first meeting, and I didn't know what I was listening to, but because I was stunned like a deer in the headlights. But something touched me anyway, deep inside, and I was home. And I got into service after 1 month because my sponsor told me so, and we're going to go through all that. I got hooked, and I've never stopped doing it. I've been on World Service, and mainly what I love to do the most is sponsorship workshops. Because to me, this is the nitty-gritty. This is all of us together. And this is what that newcomer experiences that very, very first day. So with that, I'm going to start in. I did have online, and you can see it, that you can download the outline for this workshop and also a little worksheet if you wish to. So I'm just going to go right through on this. This is a Phone Bridge sponsorship workshop, and away we go. Oh, you know what I forgot to do was give acknowledgments out first. And I'm going to just backtrack a little. I just want to thank Lucille and the whole board of PhoneBridge and everybody involved here who supported me, and Gabby. We know each other face-to-face, and this is just awesome. So I want to give a shout-out to everyone for thanking. Thank you so much. This is, you know, because we're on a sacred mission here, guys, because we know that this is a death-defying disease, and it doesn't always defy death. People do succumb to it, and we are all in this together just trying to help the person out there who's still suffering and helping the brave ones like us who walk through, pick up the phone or walk through the doors and admit there's a problem. So this is awesome. You know, we're all together in this. So back to my little story here. When we first came in, all we had was the two-bit food plan. It was just a trifold, and it cost a quarter. And it worked just fine, you know? It works just fine. And then the great gift of the Forever Abstinence book. Man, oh, man, what a labor of love that is, because there's so much in there, self-explanatory. And I keep mine right by the phone. It's definitely a go-to reference source all the time. And 25 years is a grace from God, but I don't know everything. And I have to refresh myself constantly, and I always discover something new or I forgot about. So it is my go-to reference all the time. Okay, so you get that sponsee. The first thing you get them is that abstinence, the Forever Abstinence food booklet. And also, you make sure they get a trifold. Please do that, because that's what you carry around in your purse or keep pinned up on the refrigerator or whatever. That's how we did it. You're going to need a big book, and you're going to need a 12 and 12, as you all know, because that's where our questions come from. And you're going to need a phone list, and you have online here, obviously, how to get the phone list request. And you're going to need a meeting directory, and it's on the online here. You can see when your meetings are, and your sponsor's going to tell you that you're going to need 3 meetings minimum a week. And I'll tell you, lots of times I hear people who really have great programs and sponsoring, they'll tell a newcomer 90 meetings in 90 days. It's not mandatory. It's a suggestion. But boy, that really gets a solid foundation under your feet. And I really was going personally to at least 5 meetings a week for my first 15 years. I love it. I actually thrive in these rooms. And I need my fellowship. It's not a punishment. It's a joy. And it was you know, put into my calendar as to be with my fellows and to touch base with people. The other things you're going to need is a scale, measuring cups, measuring spoons. And also, get that starting weight. Make sure you get that. And also, I heard from an old-timer one time. He says there are three things that are really good to have. One is an abstinence state. The second one is a sponsor. And the third is a home meeting. And in that home meeting, that's where it's almost like Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And you get known. And that's where you build, obviously, the bridges with people. To have outreach calls, people you know. And I tell my sponsees right up when I get a new one, I said, build a posse. Build a posse of go-to people that you can call and they know you. They get to know you. And that's real important. And widen the circles, too. When you get a newcomer and they say, does anyone want to call the newcomer? Jump right in. You know, I mean, what a way to make connections. It's an amazing thing. You'll hear it fed back to you. Oh, my God, that time that person called me and talked to it. I have a sponsee who's very readily available for things like that, and she is very good at serving up the program to a newcomer, and she takes that on. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. I'm not going to talk too much about, well, really anything about the food. I've been on World Service, and whenever we got questions about food, controversial, let's put it that way, because to get so locked into the food, that's really between you, your sponsor, and God. And it's step five, God, yourself, and another human being, and using our food plan and working things out, reasoning things out. We have, obviously, our first 30-day food plan where you have no grains except for, of course, oat bran. And, you know, for me, this food program has been so wise. I don't personally alter it. I'm not a nutrition expert. All I know is I'm a woman who lives in Southern California who's had some success with the How food plan, one day at a time. Now, I still do today exactly what my sponsor taught me that first day. She told me, you get yourself a really nice notebook also and a pen. She was really cute about that. And she taught me, she says, I want you to read that food plan. It was, like I said, that two-bit food plan. She says, read it over three times using the template. And as we know, in our forever abstinence, there's a template, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Look at the choices and write your food down. And what she was teaching me, and this is so profound for me, that first day was dignity. She said, and this is not a requirement, it was just her, but it was such a sweet thing. She said, when you eat, I want you to sit down in a chair with your little tush in the chair, and I want you to set out a placemat, and if you want, you can bring out the nice china and the good silver. She says, this is not the Dachau diet. This is a dignified, loving thing to do for yourself. And I want you to sit down, and I want you, when you eat that meal, you're going to take a bite and put the fork down. You're going to taste it and chew it and eat. And she says, what she taught me was that sense of dignity. She even put a little, you know, bud vase, and treat yourself nicely like you would company. And I couldn't believe that. I stood and ate over the sink, as you all, you know. I ate in the car. I ate like a dog out of my hand. And my car looked like the bottom of a birdcage. It was filthy with crumbs and garbage, and there was papers everywhere, and I was embarrassed when I'd pick up my kids from school and they'd ask me to drive another child home because my car was a trash heap from food, and I had crumbs all over me and stains, and I was trying to jam everything under the seat. Also, I lost a lot of my silverware because I'd be binging and someone would be coming and I'd grab all the wrappers, probably a fork or a knife, and throw it out. And by the time I got into program, I think I had 5 out of 12 forks left. Pretty embarrassing. I had 2 teenage children at home at the time, and they noticed because there wasn't any forks around every time they'd go to eat. We had to wash a lot. So this disease is humiliating. And that was the first thing that my sponsor taught me, was to treat myself with dignity. Sit down in a chair, taste your meal. And I'll tell you, it was boring. I never realized it took so long to eat a meal, because most of the time I'd suck down whatever I was eating so fast that when I came conscious and looked down at whatever I was eating, it was half gone and I felt deprived. So she taught me how to eat slowly and taste it, and it was amazing. So she said, you know, I gave her my food, and I still do the same thing today. My food is written down, called in, and committed. And this is one thing, a lot of you know Pamela. I'm going to give a shout-out to her. She's our World Service Office Manager. She said, food is committed, not reported. And she said, because committed means you're doing it beforehand, not afterwards. And if a change needs to be made, I mean, my goodness, we're all humans and have busy lives. Things happen. I offer my phone number, and I say, if you need to, and text, if you need to make changes, please let me know before. You know, and also setting up with my people as they're rolling along in their first 30 days and we get to know each other. I get to understand their schedule. Some people go to school at night or whatever. Sometimes there will be a standing, like, out to dinner or a little bit of a change. So I will understand they commit to things. If I'm eating at the restaurant, I will have this, and they'll give their protein and their food. And if I happen to make it home, I will be having that. And that's between me and them, and that's what works. And they become become equipped. And what I call this is, and one of my sponsees just returned home from Las Vegas, she says, she remembers I tell her, you're going to learn how to take the show on the road. You're going to learn how to live and be out there in the world. And this is because when we become abstinent, we start living life. And it's awesome. We start being able to go to people's homes, maybe, and even relatives for dinner. And that's a whole other thing of boundaries. I'll talk about that later. So we learn that kind of stuff. And now in the second 30 days, obviously, we're adding grains back. And I know back in the old days, it wasn't an option. You just did that. And also, fats were not an option in the old days. I know in our Forever Abstinence, it speaks about fats, and it talks that it helps to sustain. And I guess fats digest less, people who know this scientifically, slower. And so it helps make it a little easier between meals. You feel a little fuller, and that's what it says in our Forever Abstinence. And that's what I was taught. And the oils we were allowed to choose from, the fats, were oil, butter, or margarine, and it was a teaspoon. And I get a sponsee, a new one, and they sort of balk at that. And I'll go, you know, it's not going to hurt you. It's all of inclusive for the whole day. It's one tablespoon. That's very little. Maybe I don't do calories, but it's not so much. And it's good for you. It's good for your hair, your nails, you know, your skin, whatever it has in it. It won't hurt you. It also makes things taste good. And again, sustains. So I suggest that they don't be afraid, because God knows all the garbage they were eating before anyway. One little teaspoon at a meal won't hurt you. Give it a try, and we'll discuss it along the way. So that is my suggestion, what I want them to do. And then in my notes here, I did mention about maintenance. I just want to throw this in here because I asked my sponsor, actually it was a lady I sat next to at my second meeting, and she became my sponsor. And I said, well, how do you know what a goal weight is? And she patted me on the knee, and I recoiled in horror because she touched me, and I was really very prickly when I first came in from the damage of my disease. I felt so unloved and yucky. But she said, dear, you'll know where God where God puts you. But she said, technically, it's written down when a woman is coming about 5 pounds before her goal weight, she starts maintenance, and a man is 10 pounds before their goal weight, because you want to start slowing this thing down. And I'll tell you, the most glorious thing when I got onto maintenance, and I couldn't believe I was actually saying this, was that my biggest problem in life was keeping my weight on. Who would have guessed that in a million years? And I would just roar with laughter. It was just, of course, it was funny. You know, what a thing to say. My biggest problem was keeping my weight on, ha-ha. And I've grown older in the 25 years, as you can imagine. I started off at 37. I'm now almost 63. And things have changed. And in being sort of a new program, we're learning how to grow up in this program and metabolic changes and aging and what have you. We're doing it all together and learning. We're sort of on the frontier how this is. And so I have had to cut my maintenance back, but it's okay. It's no big deal for me anymore. And this food today has really lost its potency in a lot of ways. And I was able to make adjustments to suit wherever I was at in this stage of life. And it's fine. It's no big deal. So those are just some little heads up about those things. When I get a sponsee also, I set some ground rules. And I was told, and this is, I just mirror exactly how I was taught. I am so beholden to that person. Well, first I weigh and measure. I use my cups and scale at home all the time. I've lost more measuring spoons down the garbage disposal, you know, so that's life. Get a new one. And I do that. And my weight stays the same, gosh darn it. My clothes wear out now. I don't grow out. Only children grow. Adults shouldn't be. And, you know, my clothes do wear out at times, and it's, like, amazing. Okay, my first sponsor set a time. And that time is is a good thing, just like a good meeting starts on time, ends on time. Also, learning that discipline and that structure to call my sponsor on time. And she gave me 15 minutes, and I had learned to be complete. And she wanted my food to be written down, called in and committed, and then I read my writing. And she would, you know, just ask me about meetings, just in our chat, and what kind of phone calls I was making and things like that. So she established that, and it was very important to me. I just want to touch on what sponsors aren't and what a sponsor is not. And I had to learn this the hard way because I'm way codependent, but that's the beauty of sponsoring. I had to learn when it got uncomfortable. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I do not play one on television. I'm just me, some layperson in the valley here, Southern California, who has a little success, or I should say, by the grace of God, a lot of success. Let's give it 24 years, 9 months, and some change with the HAL food plan. Thank you, God, and with the program. I don't manage people's monies or marriages or their kids or their health. They do talk about things, and I've learned, and this is from other sponsors teaching me, to just listen. And one day I was complaining about that, like hearing something over and over, and oh, God, it's driving me nuts. But they said to me, it was so beautiful, and I was a little taken aback because, you know, she said, let them talk. She said, they may hear themselves eventually. And, you know, that was so wise. And I'll tell you, I just heard that a few months ago. So I learned something new all the time. Let them talk. They will hear themselves. And sure enough, and where I was, I could see it was a control issue of mine. Everything equals out. Everything irons out. And it's all okay. Yeah, I don't give advice. I strictly stick by the food plan. Also, and this is what Lucille, hi, said to me, a lot of sponsors are afraid to say no when something is requested of a newcomer or even an old-timer. We'll bring up something and a food. And I just say, is it in the food plan? Just stick to the food plan. I can't comment on anything else. All I know is I do this food plan. It works. We have plenty of choices. I personally don't make concoctions or recipes. I'm not into that. I know we have a cookbook, and there's good things to make and all that. Fine. But when things are being asked, my reference, my go-to is always back to this food plan. Is it in there? And if it's not, leave it out. You know, it's like you won't die without it. Also, with a newcomer, the first thing in that first day, my new sponsor that day, she said, write down any questions you have. Of course, this was all new to me. Now, it gave me insight. I only had one question for her because it was pretty self-explanatory, and I was very, very surrendered. I was okay. I was at death's door, and I just, whatever. I knew how to diet because that's what it looked like to me, and it was okay. The only thing I balked about was alcohol, and she said something that offended me, but she was right. She said, you may have a problem. So she instantly went right to the insight. I know that when I deal with sponsees, most of them, they're fine. They can understand our template, our instructions. But the one who fights or is balking about something, that really hanging on, it gives an insight into maybe where they're at, some maybe character. Or also, another sponsee had told me, some people just like to fight. I personally don't like that, and I won't deal with a person who wants to fight. I don't need to start my day that way, or any part of my day. I will not fight with people. It says we cease fighting anyone or anything. If a person is combative and particularly disagreeable or what's the word I'm looking for, just always defiant, there may be another problem. And I'm not personally, I got to take care of myself. Please, sponsors, know that if something is really, really, really disturbing, and I give it a long time, sometimes I have to let go because it's starting to affect my program, my sanity and my serenity and my, you know, sobriety, my abstinence. I've got to take care of myself. Rarely has that happened. Most people, 99.44/100, come in and they're fine. And people do leave, come and go, you know, what have you. But I always know that there's always a seat welcome or a phone welcome for everyone who comes back. And when they do come back, boy, there's a story to tell, you know. And I listen very carefully to those stories of what it's like out there and taking it back. And, you know, like we say in program, we sure ruin people's eating, because once you try to go out there again with a head full of program and a belly food full of sugar, it really messes it up for you. And people hopefully will work their way back with a great, you know, with a good solid story to tell that we could all learn from. So with that, what I would just like to do is just open it up. Is there a question or two? Just a little break here. Okay.
So I have a question.
Yes, please.
Yes, I have a question. This is Dietria, compulsive overeater in Michigan. Again, thank you so much for this workshop. I think it's timely. You mentioned about what a sponsor is not, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and which
I appreciate.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that out loud. One thing I have a question about is something that it popped off the page at me after being around programs since 1996 when our meetings start and we're doing our reading, it says food is written down committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. And for years, I would just read past that and didn't pay any attention to what that sentence was saying. And then finally, one day, it slapped me like, okay, food is written down and committed so that we can, like, move on past it and start the recovery. So with that being said, something that I'm trying to do differently in my sponsoring is help my sponsee get on with the recovery, but keeping in mind that I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm none of those things. In your opinion, what is the fine line? How do you assist a newcomer with recovery? How do you define it for them or teach it to them or show them that path? I don't know if I'm asking this question too early in the workshop. Maybe
you might be coming to that.
Well, you know what, if you're going to address it, I can wait.
Well,
I'm here.
Might be. You know, and that's what the next part is going to be on reading and writing, and that's what our lot has revealed. No, this is beautiful because you're right there with me, and I love when a sponsor, oh my God, and we'll get into the writing. You could tell you give a question, and their answer starts answering the next question. You're like, I'm like doing the happy dance in the kitchen, you know, where I'm taking my calls, because they're doing it. They're getting with it, and the answers will come. And I'm going to, you know, talk about that next with the literature and writing. Astonishing. You know, this program is so divine in its origin. I mean, it just blows my mind how a willing person will get it. Also, sometimes, you know, if a person there's a real big issue, I may suggest, and it's in the AA literature, and which we're allowed to use the big book and all that, is that please seek outside help. This is really beyond me. There's something, maybe, if that's amenable to you, talk to your, I don't know, wherever people talk, pastors, get whatever you need. But I'm not equipped, and neither is this 15-minute phone call appropriate for that kind of thing. You know, please help yourself by all means, because we, when you take away the food, it's only a symptom. It's the outward manifestation of a deeper problem, and, things will surface, if you're not already taking care of that or were aware of it, it will get probably revealed. So did that answer your question? So is there another question? Is anyone else?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay.
Hi, it's Susan, compulsive eater. I have a question.
Sure.
Thank you. Thanks, Lois, for your service today. How do you prevent your sponsees from becoming too dependent on you?
Thank you. Awesome question. I tell them the honest truth. Anything could happen to me. I'm just a human, feet of clay. Please make those outreach calls, and that's what I call building a posse, getting that group around you, because sponsors do have feet of clay. In the 25 years in my fellowship here, we have lost people, some older ladies, and they passed away. And one of them I quote all the time. She left me with quite a legacy. We're human. We are. No one gets out of here alive. I myself personally, 3 months ago, went blind in my right eye. It was an emergency thing, and I was out of commission, and it was very, very serious. I had 2 surgeries within 6 days. My sponsees, things could happen. So they had to know that I may not be available, and please have a network, and we set that up too. It's a reality. And not to get so dependent like a mother, and sucking me dry. We've got to learn that, and that's what the outreach calls, that when you want to reach for food, it's not, you learn how to grab that phone rather than the refrigerator and get into that practice and the habit, and it's not just your sponsor constantly on the phone with them. Actually, I have a life, and I do tell them after 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm out. I'm gone. I've got things to do. I probably won't get phone calls because I'm hitting the streets running. So they must have a network. And, I'm not totally unavailable, but I don't want them dependent on me. Same as I shouldn't be sucking my sponsor dry. She's got a life, too, a very busy life, 2 careers and all that stuff. And I've got to learn how to have, like I said, my posse, other people I've gotten very close to and confidants and all that, and that's what we learned here. The wisdom of the outreach call. Did that answer your question? I hope so. Okay.
Thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome. We're just human. And it says that, in AA literature, do not make one person, the all, because feet of clay, anything could happen. You could have a slip, for that matter. Let's get into reading and writing. Now, our sweet Ray Z... And she likes to be called Rachel now. Rachel Z, our co-founder. She was just saying that writing is the gateway to the spiritual foundation. And I heard it. We had a really good speaker at a meeting on Friday, and he said, young little whippersnapper. I couldn't believe it. This guy is, he's adorable, like 34 years old, and he's just like the guru on the hill. I mean, not worshiping him, but so wise. But anyway, he was saying the food plan and the tools are the practical structure. And when we grab onto this practical structure, it starts opening up the spiritual structure. And that's where this starts coming out. And that's what Ray said. She says, this writing is the gateway to the spiritual foundation. The writing and the spiritual, a lot of people go, well, I'm not at step 11, so I don't, I hope sponsors start introducing the concept of a higher power to a person. And I know, you know, when we were working step one in the first week and, you know, writing a bio and answering questions on powerlessness and unmanageability, you know, step two, we're introduced right up front, you know. I love step two. It says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore. I love that word, restore. Underscore it and parentheses and, you know, quotes or whatever. It means, y'all, we're all whole and complete, beautiful little precious creations. And somewhere we got beat up and battered. I don't know how this disease works, but peculiar mental twist. But we get restored. We are precious gifts. And so that this is where that introduction face-to-face, and that's what struck me. Face-to-face with our literature and writing in that second step, it said, you're getting restored here. You know, so came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And then it says, made a decision. Number three, turn our will and lives over to the care of God as we understand him. Okay, and that's where, as a sponsor, you might run up against the person who's lost faith or doesn't have or whatever. You know, boy, some people have been beat up a lot in that arena, and it's sad. Thank God I wasn't. Boy, I had one. Real great higher power, and now I could learn. Now, my family was embarrassed by it, but when I got into program, the fellowship let me live out loud, and I could just be open about my spiritual connection, and oh, what a freedom that was. But for the ones who have trouble, this is something, a wonderful little tool, little hint. Sponsees can write a want ad for a higher power. And this is where, you know, writing comes in too. Write a want ad. So, you know, like you're putting a want ad for a, you know, I don't know, roommate or whatever. But this is where you could do a want ad for a higher power, and you could put everything and anything in there that you want and create one. And start acquainting with a higher power. Now, I know when I looked around that room in that very first day, and I saw people stand up and qualify, and I remember this one man had 8 months of maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. That was powerful as a newcomer. I couldn't hear a whole lot. All I heard a lot was, my name is, and clap, clap, clap. But when that those people qualified, that blew my mind. Talk about a powerful experience. So the and I always had a higher power. It wasn't a problem, but that, and I know that's what I feed on. When I get back into my fellowship and just being here with you, even though we're not talking and can't see each other, there's a power, and it's palpable. You know, I could feel it. So that was like my start, and then I can integrate it with my own personal spiritual connection. But helping people develop one, my higher power is hysterical, has such a great sense of humor. I'm a professional artist by trade and by gift, too. And when I go to paint something, a commission or something, I always pray first. And the idea comes, you know, the inspiration, and I know where it comes from. I give all, you know, credit. And, you know, I paint it, and the client's always blown away. And I go, thank you, God, that's amazing. And I hear, of course it's amazing, I'm God, you know, in the beginning I created, you know. And I just laugh and go, I know, my God, my higher power, this is just what I need, has a tremendous sense of humor, is funny, very creative, loving. It's just my thing, what I need. And other people I've heard at workshops or retreats when they've read aloud their want ads. So that's a good little tool to start connecting and designing and getting into your own self of what you need. The reading and writing is astonishing. I know I found in the reading and writing, I'll never die of terminal uniqueness. It blew my mind that first week that if the big book was written and published in 1939, a bunch of old guys, you know, with starch collars and suspenders could write this stuff, and I could identify with it so completely. And I remember on page 24, it's in italics, and it said, for reasons yet obscure, I can't remember the pain and suffering of just a short while ago. I went, oh, how did they know? There was that amnesia described that I couldn't describe to the five therapists I was going to every week. But there it was, written by alcoholics, people who admitted their and could glibly write down that internal feeling, and that blew my mind. Just, I went, I'm home. Page 24 early on in the book, and they just described what I couldn't put my finger on, and that's where I went. Now, I was also taught by a sponsor. She says, do not use a word processor. I had her, she was my sponsor for 10 years. She says, I want you to write it by hand. She says, there is something that is so amazing between the brain and the hand and the heart and the memory when it starts pouring out on the page. Oh, yeah, you get hand cramps and all that. But she said, no, go for it. Go for it. I want it. I want that heart-head-hand connection and let it pour out. And I said, okay. I follow directions. That's one thing I learned in program. I always, as much as I can, say yes, and it's almost all the time, to service, but also a directive from a sponsor. I'll say yes. Because if no one has ever asked me to do anything here that is objectionable, immoral, unethical, anything humiliating, nothing. You guys have always been loving and kind to me and only have given me the best. So, you know, that's the way to go on this one. So, and I'm going to ask Mary Beth. Are you there, Mary Beth? Do you have anything to say on the reading and the writing? I want you to pipe in. We had talked about this. Mary Beth is a long time. There you are.
Yes,
there you are.
I am here. It took me a while to unmute here.
No problem. Would you, any comments on this from your side?
Yeah.
On the reading and writing.
I think that for me, the reading and writing also keeps me in touch with what I know about recovery and what I want from recovery. And it's, you know, sometimes after doing this for a while, it's easy to lose touch with how it was.